The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. G'day, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garo Pero columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up again with the US-focused gold explorer slash developer Dateline Resources. There's been some real excitement around the company recently since we last spoke, and we have Dateline's Managing Director, Stephen Baghdadi, with us today to bring us up to speed on the developments. Those developments include the release of findings from a geological review of historical exploration data at the recently acquired Coliseum Gold Mine in California, and the appointment of contractors to bring the Goldlink gold project in Colorado into production. And there's also a breakthrough there on the ore sorting front. Dateline trades under the code DTR, or Delta Tango Romeo, and last traded at 11 cents for a market cap of 42 million. That's up substantially since we last spoke with the company in mid-March, ahead of the group's share consolidation. The news around Coliseum and Goldlink has been behind the group's growth in market cap, and it has to be said the recovery in the gold price to more than US $1,900 an ounce hasn't hurt either. So with that, I'll say good day to Stephen. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the podcast, and thanks for your time today.
G'day, Barry. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks, Stephen. Now, if I could, just a quick refresher for listeners on Coliseum before I get into the detail around the geological review. Coliseum is in San Bernardino County in California and was acquired from Barrick, which has been rationalizing its portfolio since last year's merger with Randgold. Coliseum operated between 1988 and 1993 and produced 345,000 ounces of gold from a 2.5 grams a ton head grade. And like a lot of mines at the time, it succumbed to the prevailing US $350 an ounce gold price at the time. So, okay, Stephen, tell us about the geological review and what the key findings were.
Sure. Well, Barry, I mean, you're absolutely right. The gold price back then, I think it was definitely below $350 an ounce when the mine closed down. Mm-hmm. And they left plenty of gold behind. So the BP data tells us that we're dealing with two brecher pipes, which we knew. We have a high-grade brecher pipe and a lower-grade brecher pipe, and they are clearly marked, and the boundaries are well known of each. Mm-hmm. The high grade brecher pipe, looking at the bench model, starts at about 2 grams per ton at 6,000 feet above sea level, and by the time the benches get down to 5,000 feet, the BP records say that the grade is up to about 4.4 grams. There's quite a variance. Now, the high grade is located in something called the rubble rock brecher, mm-hmm. inside the brecher pipe. We're still going through the data to get an exact dimensions, but preliminary readings are that this rubble rock brecher is roughly a zone of about 75 meters by 20 meters. Mm-hmm. And it is still present about 2,600 feet, which is, I think, I can't remember how many meters downhole, but 750, 800 meters downhole, but certainly way below the resource shell that defined the 1.1 million ounces of gold. Now, the other pipe, the gold is more—it's a more homogeneous pipe. The gold is evenly distributed, and it fluctuates between 1.1 and 1.3 grams per ton. And in this particular case, one of the things that we like about this is that if you were to go underground and mine this, you would be able to extract the high-grade pipe first, and that would keep you busy for 9 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. Presumably, the price of gold moves up, and then you're already down there. You've got the infrastructure there. You move over, and you extract the lower-grade pipe later. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, it's like a – you couldn't have planned it better.
In an overarching sense, BP's gross figure was 1.1 million ounces?
Yeah, it was slightly above 1.1 million.
And how much of that was mined by them? Or others?
Well, Well, 344,000 ounces produced, as you alluded, mm-hmm. and the recoveries were between 90 and 93%. So if mm-hmm. you say 90, 380,000 ounces have been extracted.
Right. So we're looking at potentially 700,000 remaining.
Absolutely. 700,000 mm-hmm. remaining. And if you look at the BP model, Barry, just what they did, we're not saying it's, you know, it can be replicated. We've got to be careful because the JORC code and the ASX and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But what they, BP, did, and again, I stress, we may not replicate it, right. was they defined approximately 700 ounces of gold per vertical foot, right? Now, let's stay in feet for the moment. Mm-hmm. So that was down to 900 feet. Now, we've got another, that's on the West Pipe, 700 ounces per vertical foot. Now, we've just got another 1,700 feet there, which we know the Brescia Pipe continues. And on the East Pipe, they delineated 600 feet per vertical foot. So combined, 1,300 feet per vertical foot.
Mm-hmm.
You've got another 1,750 feet. If we are able to replicate it, that's 2.25 million ounces.
Yeah.
And you've still got 700,000 ounces there.
Mm.
So it's actually an exciting prospect.
Yeah, very much so. So the forward plan from here then?
Well, I think we've still got to review the data, and we're going to rebuild the model before we make any firm plans. But certainly the plans include, you know, a field program. They would have to include a field program where we not only go back and try to verify the remaining ounces, but drill deeper and identify more.
Mm, okay. Let's see if we could, we all appreciate the sensitivities around what's JORC compliant, what's not JORC compliant, what's a historical resource, what's not a historical resource. But is it fair enough to suggest that BP, being BP, BP Minerals was a division of BP Petroleum, mm-hmm. When oil companies had more money than they knew what to do with and they all jumped into minerals for a while?
Yes.
What's your understanding of the quality of the data that you've been seeing?
It's excellent. It's excellent. I mean, they're really well documented. Of course, it was pre-sophisticated IT systems, like, so therefore a lot of it is still paper format. We have received an additional 140 boxes of data from Barrick, which we are currently scanning and digitizing. That will be a 2 or 3 month process. We will have that data reviewed by an independent resource geologist,
mm-hmm.
and that resource geologist will then tell us what we need to do in the field to verify that data. But certainly the data is intact, and once it's digitized, it'll be not too difficult to create a 3D model and something that we can work with.
Mm, and I guess, in a sense, your task there is aided by the fact that the mineralization is contained in these two pipes.
Yes, really simple. It's just the dimensions of the pipes. So they're both about the same. They're roughly, again, in feet, roughly 800 by 400. One is slightly larger than the other, but we're just working on the basis of 800 by 400 for each one, and it's contained. So in terms of drilling it out, that's a real bonus, because you don't have to constantly move the drill rig to move along strike of the structure in the vein. You can park it virtually in the one spot and use directional drilling to cover the whole pipe mm-hmm. Down to 3,500 feet.
Okay. So in terms of getting back out into the field and drilling, when's that likely to occur?
I would aim for the fourth quarter this year to get out there. It's hot there at the moment. It's in the middle of the desert, and all the drillers in America are really busy. Mm. So you're not going to be able to find any drillers really until late September, early October, maybe this year.
Right. And by then your review would have reached the point, well, this is what we need to do to confirm the upside at this project.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Exciting stuff. The market certainly liked, there was a big response. I think the stock was up 5,000%, I think, on the day.
that includes a consolidation.
Yes, of course. So What, working back the 11 cents to a pre-consolidated price, what was?
It's roughly 0.4. So 0.4. 0.4 times 25 is 10.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. It's a 0.44, I guess.
Yeah, and I think when we spoke in March, you were 0.03. So
that's right. So yeah. It's not a huge move, that's for sure. But yeah, I think we'll get a re-rate once we get boots on the ground and people start seeing things happening.
Mm. Yeah, I guess an easier measure of the value uplift was market cap. I think market cap at the time was about 34, and you've come up to 42. So,
yes.
Yeah. So as spectacular as that gain looked, there's leverage to the upside as the Coliseum story unfolds in the year ahead. Yeah,
mm. Definitely. Definitely.
Okay. All right, let's swing across to Colorado and just a quick refresher there as well. Since 2016, the company's been consolidating the ground position there. Now has a string of four permitted historic high-grade gold mines and 50 kilometres away by road, you own the Lucky Strike Mill and the historic mine there.
Right.
Now, there's been two announcements of significance from the company on the gold link. Let's take the ore sorting first. What did you find from your ore sorting studies?
Well, the ore sorting came in pretty much in line with what we expected. We know that the vein that we're dealing with here, I'm going to stick to feet for a moment, is roughly 2 to 4 feet with an average of about 2.5, so between 2.5 and 3. Now, we wanted to take a sample that would be the equivalent size of a heading if you were mining it with mechanized equipment. And that would be 5 foot. Mm. The smallest jumbo on the market is about a 1.2 meter jumbo, mm-hmm. Which is 4 foot. So you'd be mining 5 foot. And there are mines around the world that do mechanized mining and they do it reasonably well at a 5 foot width. So we took a 5 foot section of the vein. We took the vein and we took equal amounts either side of the vein. And we it totaled about 850 kilos. This was phase two of the trial. The phase one was 160 kilos late last year, and mm-hmm. It was worth a follow-up. Now, the 850 kilos arrived, and we were expecting roughly a 30 to 40% reduction because that's all the waste there was, either side of the vein. You know, most of it was vein, and then there was a foot either side out of 5 foot. So roughly we were expecting that kind of reduction anyway, back to the vein.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got. And the grade improved dramatically. It went from a head grade of about 15%. Well, the sample had a head grade of about 15 grams and yeah. It ended up somewhere close to 22 grams or 21.7 grams, whatever. So it's a tremendous uplift in the grade. It was already high grade to start with, even with the dilution, right? Mm-hmm. But to get it back down to the vein proper or near enough to the vein proper at 21 grams is really encouraging. What that really means is obviously we get a lot more productivity per ton in terms of product gold product out of it, and it costs us less to process. Yeah. So the dynamics of buying an ore sorter are very good. The economics of it and the dynamics of it, it works really well. And the gold, and I guess being able to sort now means we can seriously entertain mechanized mining.
Yeah.
And that reduces our costs even lower.
Mm. So it's all pointing to reduced milling costs, increased grades, and therefore increased production from the plant.
Absolutely. Mm. So, you know, if you're hand mining, you're looking at roughly $105 to $110 a ton. If you're mechanized mining, it's roughly $50 a ton.
Yeah.
So it's a material difference.
Okay. Without getting too technical about it, the gold is hosted in quartz reef, is it?
Yeah, it's a quartz vein, and it sits with sulfides like galena and pyrite.
Mm. So I was just wondering what the ore sorter actually does. Does it pick up, rejects the non-quartz material, essentially?
Yeah. So there are two ways that you can do. There are two processes that we used. The first one was an X-ray, and that just looks for anything sulfide.
Right.
Picks it up, boom, sorts it out. Now, Tomra have a second machine which uses laser. And the laser shines on the rock, and if it's got quartz on it, it just lights up and it separates it out.
Mm.
Now, the machine that we're about to trial has both X-ray and laser in the one unit, and that's what we're keen to see how that comes out, because we might be able to improve on that result.
Right. And if all goes well, your, what is it, 33,000 tonnes per annum plant could theoretically become a 45,000 tonnes per annum plant. Sorry?
Exactly. Without needing to upgrade it. Mm. And the grade, and the grade improves.
Mm. Okay. So what's the forward plan with ore sorting?
Well, I think we do the next test, definitely. And we probably get the results back, 2 to 3 months from now. Mm. And then make a decision to buy it. I think we've already made the decision that we're going to get it. It's just a question of which one.
Yeah. Okay. So theoretically, you could be a gold producer when you think from Gold Links.
The current development plan sees us paralleling the vein for about 1,700 feet and being able to access the vein and start extracting material in the fourth quarter of this year.
Okay. And to achieve that, I see you've appointed some contractors.
Yes, we have. We appointed a specialist narrow vein contractor. We put the job out to tender. We received half a dozen or so interested parties, and we chose this company because they have relevant experience with narrow vein underground mining in Idaho. And right. The relationship has developed over the last few months, and I think we're going to have a good working relationship with these guys.
Mm. The Gold Links, is there a resource base yet, or is it the mining there, because of narrow vein, high grade, will it essentially be suck and see? Just keep mining until...
No. There's a bit more to it than that. Well, I mean, yes, at some level, no, not really, actually, no. What it is, we've got a 33,000-tonne resource there.
Mm.
We know that the inferred resource was about 7 grams per tonne, and when we drilled it some more, the indicated became 14 grams per tonne.
Right.
So the relationship so far between inferred and indicated is double the inferred. Now, one of the pockets has got 7 to 14, inferred, indicated. The other pocket's only got 10 grams inferred. We haven't drilled it close enough. So when we get down close to it and we drill it, we'll see what the actual final grade will be. But along the way, we're drilling the vein. So we know where it is.
Yeah.
We know where the mining took place above where we are. We know that this thing continues at depth. Okay, and therefore, we will drill it as we go down to identify more resources so that by the time we actually cross over to the vein later this year and start extracting it, we'll have hopefully tripled that 33,000 tonnes, closer to 100,000 tonnes by the time we get down to mining it. And then we can see ourselves, even with ore sorting and mechanised mining, with enough resource ahead of us for at least 2 years.
Right. And all nice high-grade material.
Yes, very high-grade material. Hopefully the price of gold keeps going, so even more valuable.
Mm. Now, you have a lot on the go. How's the company off of financing it?
Financing's good. We're strong. I mean, we obtained financing from a financial institution over there, and they've basically said to us that so long as our asset base is 110% of our borrowings, they're prepared to give us whatever money we need to actually keep things going. But as it stands, we've got about $6 million in the bank, US, roughly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're certainly not in need of any money in the short term. And the objective would be use this money to get ourselves into production and then use the income to continue the company.
Yeah, to become self-funding and a little further out, look for the much larger scale production likely to come from Coliseum at some point.
Exactly. That's the plan. The other thing also, just while we're talking about assets, one of the things about the company is that we actually own the real estate in Colorado. And, a lot of Australians don't appreciate that. It's a completely different system over there. If you own the freehold, you own the mineral rights.
Mm.
And that's the situation with us. So we actually, any of the money that we've borrowed from the bank over there is secured by real estate.
Okay.
It does not affect the corporate, the parent entity, Dateline Resources, at all. All the debt is ring-fenced around the real estate in Colorado.
Okay. And when we're talking real estate, we're not talking prime real estate. We're talking, it's What's its main use?
It's rural. And you know, it's essentially it's rural. It's mountains. It's in the Rocky Mountains, essentially. So quite valuable.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's bring it all together and give investors a feel for what the the year's almost over, but the rest of 2021, what should they be looking out for from the company?
Development, exploration, and production at Gold Links, and we'll be providing regular updates on the progress there. So I think certainly by the end of this year, we'd be hoping to turn that mill back on and get into production. At Coliseum, we want the drill rig on site by about October.
Right.
To drill and prove up the historical resource and drill for extensions of it.
Right. Well, there you go, folks. Interesting story. Some real excitement around both projects. One with a near-term production likelihood and the Coliseum to come in once it's all confirmed up. So with that, Stephen, thanks for your time today. Much appreciated and good luck with it all.
Thanks, Barry. Thank you very much.